12, verse 1.
So we're starting over.
Be all right.
We'd be all right.
I'll read that verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, as we start tonight, look at your sermon outline and go to the end of the closing thought. And I'm going to read that. Paul appeals to us, beloved, to use our physical bodies for God's profit. And in ways
that,
ways that please him. Given what he has done for us, this is just the logical response we will have. It's that simple. Do you agree? And so I guess respond to that reality of that closing thought and the question, do you agree? And give me more than a yes if you agree, or I guess give me more a no if you don't agree. But how do you respond to that?
That's interesting. Do you agree? Just went over to let Tammy generally finds all my errors and fixes them. And I just came to find out that in your bulletins, it's just fine. It says that, doesn't it? It says done on mine because she didn't make me aware of my faux pas.
Well, so.
And you went off
the I get the one that pastor sends me, and I put that into my notes because it doesn't have these blanks in it.
Right.
See, so it's completely filled out.
Yep. Okay. So, back to Elder Cal's question. Do you agree it's that simple? Callie.
Doesn't feel that simple.
All right. That's not the question.
In the middle of fighting against
the question isn't, does it feel that simple? The question is it that simple? It's nothing to do with Cal's hygiene.
Yeah, we need a time zone change here.
This time of year.
Or a shade.
The question that Elder Cal asked was, he read the closing thought, Paul appeals to us, beloved, to use our physical bodies for God's profit and in ways that please him. Given what he has done for us and in us, this is just the logical response we will have. It is that simple. Do you agree?
When I live out of the Spirit, it's that simple. When I live out of my flesh, it's not.
Okay. Okay, and, all right, we'll go on. Corey? This is your opportunity to say, Pastor, you exegeted this scripture improperly because this isn't, I don't agree, that's not what it says.
Pastor, you exegeted. No, so cognitively, yes, it is that simple, and logically, it makes absolute sense.
Good. Now, I want you to understand something. That statement that Corey just made, cognitively and logically, it makes perfectly good sense. A unbeliever could not say that and mean it. Because it makes no sense unless we are able to understand the truth of who God is. So I know you had more, but so cognitively it's logical. I get it, Corey says. So yes, I agree.
It's the practical and the daily living that doesn't always reflect that.
And I guess I want to ask us, and I may be getting way ahead and we'll have to come back, but I don't believe the Bible teaches, and I'm not teaching, I don't think Paul's saying, that flesh is dead and that we don't have those temptations. It isn't that we don't have the temptations. Is it that simple to say, Holy Spirit, take over, and do not allow my flesh to please itself? See, because perfection would be that I never think that way. Perfection and how we want to think of it. The question is it that simple? Is it simple? And I don't even know what I mean necessarily, so good. That'll be great. Is it simple that you pick what... Roy, is it simple that you don't do cocaine anymore? Why is that simple? Now, is it simple that you don't shout at your wife? Getting more simple, I would assert. But see, now, isn't it worse to sniff cocaine than it is to yell at your wife? No, because this is our body, and this is our body. Now, I understand James talks about taming the tongue. I'm not asserting Roy is not a believer because he doesn't control that. But I believe what Roy is missing is it's just as simple to never yell at his wife again as it is to never use cocaine again. It's just as simple. That's, and I'm not saying that's the reality of Roy's life. I'm saying that's the truth. What doesn't Roy have that he needs in order to live a holy life? Nothing. What more do we need than the power of God living in us? And isn't that why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Tamara, or I don't know if somebody else have the microphone already.
So,
it's not as loud as you think.
Okay, it felt really loud. I see in my life the power of God when I live out of the Spirit and not out of my flesh. There's been some times in the last 2 weeks, that I've lived out of the power of the Holy Spirit versus what I wanted to do. And I was amazed at what God did in my life through that. But I believe there is in my life where I have lack of trust in God. Like you're using Royce yelling at his wife. I don't do that because I'm a wife, but I do other things. And I feel like from today's sermon, I'm like, I just choose to have lack of trust in God versus living out of the Spirit all the time.
Okay. But what I want us to think about today, because I think, again, it's another one of these watershed moments for this congregation. I think it's simple to stop it. And what's necessary is for us to believe what Paul has just told us for 11 chapters. And once we do that, so then, look, because if I don't understand that my physical body, soma, this body, is controllable, is able to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If I don't understand that all of this body can be controlled, there's no part of my body that cannot be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so, what makes it simple is, what starts that process is a recognition of that. That Roy would fully understand, Roy, I don't know why I turned to you, you're just close. That Roy would fully understand that both of those things are his soma, or his melas, his digits, or his limbs, or his body, and both of those things are equally controllable. Him to understand that, and believe that.
So, Pastor, I want to just put everything together for myself. for this weekend. And what I mean from that is drawing from men's Bible study yesterday morning and then today. And if we had the privilege of knowing nothing and then could look at this verse that says in chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So if you got to interact with everything in life with that knowledge, with that level of intelligence, okay, everything I do in life is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service. That's pretty simple then, provided you have knowledge of God's Word, right? That's pretty simple, right? Now, I want to bring in men's Bible study yesterday, which we were in Ephesians 5, verse 17, another therefore verse. That was, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. And I have to use the weast to describe what unwise was. Therefore, on this account, stop becoming those who are without reflection or intelligence. So you put those two verses together, and one says, I said, just your reasonable act of service is this. Oh, that's clearly describes what the outcome is going to be. Now, stop being one who lives without reflection on Romans 12:1, without the intelligence of God's Word from Romans 12:1. It's unwise to do life without reflection or intelligence of the truth of Romans 12:1. And I'm going to start to sound like him and say, it's really simple, and I had to watch my daughter make it look like it's really not that simple immediately after service. But there was too much lack of reflection or intelligence that was weighing on her decision in her mind.
Because she was believing a lie of I can't. That was her words. I can't. That's a lie.
So Colleen and Callie were going to go to Josh and Natalie's afterwards and just ask them why they weren't here today. And
Colleen was going to go and ask.
Colleen was going to go, ask Callie to go with her. And Callie just, well, I can't. I can't go. I can't go. I can't go. And we talked through the flesh and the spirit, and I finally had to say, Callie, you need to stop saying I can't. If you don't go, it's because you won't. Because the truth in today's sermon is that you have the power to live out of the spirit, and you can do that. So you cannot go, but you can't say you can't, but say you won't. And that's all true.
And saying I won't is if that's how you, if you have an area of your life or areas of your life that it just keeps going the same way and you just can't, then you come to even understanding it's I won't, but I won't. Then you understand you have a form of godliness, but you're denying His power. Because that's exactly what's being talked about. It says you have a form of godliness, but denying His power. You go to church, you know all the right things, but you deny the power of Christ living in you that says you can go live out Scripture. That you clearly understand is Scripture, that the Spirit is telling you, yes, you should do that. I can't or I won't. If I can't or I won't, either one of those two is true of you, then you're not green. And I'm not being judgmental. See, the first thing is recognizing I can. And believing that. Brad?
So today was fantastic for me in lots of different ways. It's really simple. It's really black and white. It's really just as easy as you describe it. It's I won't, not I can't, and I'm fantastic at telling, you know, myself those things. So that is really daunting for me because it takes the surety of my salvation and essentially squashes it. I mean, I could, based on facts of today, I could walk out of here being not saved or thinking I'm not saved and have stacks of evidence of things that I won't.
Good. So Brad is now going to work out his salvation with fear and trembling. Brad is now going to have to go through the process of examining himself. Examine yourself. Don't you know that Christ lives in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. But I trust you won't fail the test, the Apostle Paul says. But look, Paul doesn't say you won't fail the test, I guarantee it. Paul says examine yourself. Because Brad, as you go through that, and again, here we go again, right? Brad may take this next statement as condemnation. And it's not, because there is no condemnation. I can't condemn him. I happen to believe Brad to be a believer. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If what you find on the other side of that examination is I can't and I won't and it ain't changing, then you're not a Christian. But I'm green and why are you such judgmental? You're not. The I can't and I won't don't follow around a Christian. See, okay, again, a non-judgmental, condemning statement I will make. If mom continues to stand up and say, I don't talk to Christ about people because I'm afraid of them, then she needs to examine herself. But that's not me telling her she's not saved. That's Paul saying, examine yourself. And it's good that you have to do that. Because, Brad, you must stop giving your members, if that's what you're in today's sermon, giving your body in ways that aren't pleasing. And I already got from one person today, as I asked them what they thought, and I got the somewhat predictable answer. Well, what I got was, if it's sin or perceived to be sin, I shouldn't do it. So what do you mean perceived to be sin? Well, if somebody tells me it's sin. So, skirting the question of I won't own it completely. So then the next question that has to be asked is what Paul says after holy, pleasing to God. Is what you're trying to fight to do or not do pleasing to God? Would it have pleased God for Callie to deny, not go to see Josh and Natalie? Would that have been pleasing to God? Quit asking, is it sinful? It's a fine question. But ask, is it pleasing to God? Is what I'm going to do or not do pleasing to God? That helps you examine these questions.
There's still just such a category in my life for me of things to do with God that I would just rather stick a knife in my leg than do. And, you know,
let's first of all identify, Brad, the fact that you want to stab a knife in your leg as opposed to do these things that you think God has led you or telling you in His Word to do, the fact that you would rather stick in your knife in your leg, you so much don't want to do that, who's telling you to stick a knife in your leg? The Spirit or your flesh?
My flesh.
Shut it! This will kill in me, will put to death the deeds of the flesh. So I won't hate doing this anymore. I'll love it. I'll love doing what God would have me to do. I won't dread it. Now, I don't know where Callie went. Maybe not easy to climb in the car and drive up the hill. Maybe, but I'm not going to dread it. I'm going to do it and I'm going to trust God for it. I'm going to talk to Jim, I'm just going to listen to what Jim says, and as Jim says things that deny who God really is, I'm going to point those things out to him. And I'm not going to dread it. See, some of us have had tough discussions, right? I've had tough discussions with many of you. Would that be true? I don't dread any of them. But that doesn't mean in my flesh I like them. But I don't dread any of them. Kevin, I think you had... Or Brad, I'm sorry, were you done? Were you finished? No, you don't have to be. You know, it feels like I just keep chopping you off, but... And maybe I am. Kevin?
Well, I haven't listened to the sermon yet, but I can...
Well, you just got it all, I'm sure.
I know, I can't wait to listen to it. But I cannot, and I do not have the ability to go out to the Davenport Skate Park and preach the gospel to people or to the district of Rock Island. I can't do that. I have no power within myself to do that. The first week we went out, I trembled and I had butterflies and I was dry mouth the entire week leading up to it. I have no ability to do that in and of myself.
You wish you had a cat you could take and get it declawed or something?
I mean...
Something you had to do instead of go down to the...
Jump off a cliff and break my neck, whatever. Anything to get out of it. So, but is it pleasing to God? And is it my reasonable service?
Right. Can you imagine, Kevin, going down and preaching, and it's glory to God, and I praise God that we have men that are out now doing street preaching and street evangelism. But let's say one of you has 10 hours in at that right now. Let's say we've got it. I don't know if we do. Let's just say somebody's got 10 hours in. And then compare that to the number of hours that you aren't focused on doing things that are pleasing to God. Or you're not focused on living that set-apart life in God's employ. Right? And that's when it comes down to Mr. and Mrs. Judson, both, and Jim Elliott, and all of these missionaries, that's where it comes down to. That makes a lot of sense. And even them, I'm sure, when they went to these places, I'm positive, didn't spend all of their time, but were giving their bodies as living sacrifices. And that is what you do when you go do that. Callie, that is what you do when you go up the hill. You give your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is just logical. And then the more we believe, as Elder Cal was trying to get to, the more we believe this is just logical, the more holy we become. It's just logical. It just stands to reason.
Well, I consider, as you ask the question, am I living out a more reasonable service today than I did last year or the year before? And I think the answer is a resounding yes, and I praise God for that. But I've probably barely tipped the meter.
Right. So praise God, glory to God, and don't be satisfied. Because that's the old misdirection play. Look at all this I'm doing. Forget this. Look at all this. Forget this. Look at all this. Forget this.
Sarah.
So the part that stood out today for me was by the mercies of God, and how I can sometimes, as I think about that verse and meditate on that verse, skip over that part and kind of goes off of what Kevin was saying, but it comes back to that humility and of recognizing that I can't do it on my own, and thinking back and realizing that my just daily life and living it, things started looking a lot different for me when my day started beginning with me on my face every day recognizing and telling God, I cannot do this on my own without you. You have to just do it through me. I can't.
By the mercies of God, and I said it a couple times, but I talked fast and said it a lot, right? So I really want us to own this. What I want us to think about there is by the mercies of God. So because of all He has done for us and in us, so all of the truths of when I was still that horrible, wretched sinner, Christ, I hated God, and everything about me hated God. And Christ died for me then. That He's adopted me. all of these mercies, all these things He's done for me, and all that He has done in me. And what has He done in me? He's taken out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. He has indwelled me with His Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches the power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me. So if I can remember the two aspects of by the mercy of God, the mercies of God, all of His compassion and pity and mercy on me. And then all that He's done in me, His mercy, and part of His mercies is indwelling me with the Holy Spirit. And now, what can't I do? And what shouldn't I do? And what's not logical for me to do?
And then the picture that comes after that, Sarah, is that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And what do we understand when the Bible talks about a sacrifice? What's it referring to? Right? What did they do in the Old Testament? They sacrificed what? Living things and gave up the life of that animal or whatever they were bringing and put it on the altar. So we're not told to go kill ourselves and lay ourselves on the altar because we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. So we're supposed to give, lay ourselves, okay, come take me. I mean, just think of that picture of something being put on the sacrifice altar. And now you be the living sacrifice.
By the way, there was somebody,
given over for the purpose of this.
Somebody used to say, you know, we don't make good living sacrifices because we always crawl off the altar. Somebody I used to hang around would say that. And I was thinking about that the other day, and that doesn't make any sense. Because based on what's said here, we can't crawl off the altar. We are a living sacrifice. This is our logical service, our logical, reasonable act of service. So we don't get to crawl off the altar because saying that, you know what that does? That just lets us go keep sinning. If we say we make lousy sacrifices because we keep crawling off the altar, guess what I'm saying really is, I'm just going to keep sinning. You don't get to crawl off the altar.
All right, our time is about up. Anybody?
Kevin has his hand up.
Kevin didn't. Anybody else?
Maybe not as urgent now, but certainly you had your hand up, so let's go ahead. Anybody else has something they would like to say?
Well, I was thinking of what you just said, and I thought of a quote by Leonard Ravenhill, and he said, many will go to the cross, but they won't get on the cross. And I think that makes more sense because they won't take that step to offer themselves a living a sacrifice to deny themselves and do what Christ did and take that step beyond what you would normally take. So
yep.
Maybe it's a similar quote, but it seems to me make a little bit more sense.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know where he's going with that. We can't get on the cross. That's why Christ did. Right? So remember, we don't have to sacrifice. We don't have to do these things to atone for sin. We don't have to live a life that's pleasing to God. We don't have to give our bodies to God to atone for sin. That's already happened with Christ's sacrifice. It's not to atone for sin that we do these things. It's because the sin has been atoned for that we do these things. We are a living sacrifice. We are not called. Now, Jesus says, pick up your cross daily. That doesn't mean go kill yourself. That means deny yourself. That means deny yourself. Your flesh. Deny, because nobody wants to pick up a cross and carry it. Deny your flesh. I don't want to do this. I'd rather stab myself in the leg. That's your flesh convincing you don't have to do this. But Paul says it's just that simple. Is that everyone? Okay, time for praise and thanksgiving.